Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Cap Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace, and our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, Angler U, Boyd's One Stop, and the Belleville Meat Market. All right, weather. It's 85 down on the island this morning. Looking at a mix of clouds and sun today. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible with a high near 90. They're throwing in about a 20% chance. East winds 15 to 25. Not seeing that yet, but that's the forecast. Tonight, a few passing clouds, low of 84. East-southeast winds 10 to 20. And for tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Well, the high of 89 and the east winds 15 to 25. So not as warm on the coast. I think on the high ground today we're going to get up to around 96 or what have you. But hopefully we're going to get on the better side of all this. Get rid of this hot, nasty weather. All right, looking at tides for today. We're on a four-tide schedule. We're sitting on a low right now. We have our next tide is a high tide at the Galveston Channel at 7:21 a.m. It's a 1.3. Then we have a low at 2:51 p.m., an 0.1, a high at 11:10 p.m., a 1.5. 6:53 a.m. at sunrise, 7:50 p.m. at sunset, and our moon phase is at 78%. All right, current conditions right now. It looks like at the North Jetty in Galveston, it's south, pretty much southeast at 13. San Luis Pass, it's 10 at the Tech City Dyke, it's 10, Eagle Point, 10, and up at Morgan's Point, it's east at 10. So the old rollover station down that way, where the pass used to be, it's 7. So an offshore, it looks like it's 13 at the closest buoy out there to Galveston. So not all that 15 to 25 yet. They're calling for it, but I'm not seeing it right now. All right, well, let's run over to Sabine Lake, and let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's doing. Good morning, Bill. What's up?
Hey, how are you doing this morning, Mick?
couldn't be better, man. And you?
Oh, yeah, I guess I'm all right.
Well, good.
A little groggy this morning, but... I'll get past that. Yeah.
Well, I'm ready for some cooler weather and get another... You know, get another step in their step, you know?
Yeah, that would be nice. Up. Need a little freak cold front.
Yeah.
That would be a pinch. Yeah.
Wind switch, a little temperature drop, that'll go a long way with folks right now.
But I think that it'll probably be mid-September before that has a chance of happening. We'll see. Some more in there, though.
We as fishermen, we're always talking about the weather, and it makes me feel guilty when I see that insurance commercial where it says, "Don't turn out like your parents. Don't be this guy." You know, when they're talking about chance of rain and looking at, I laugh at that every time. I said, "Boy, I wonder if that's what people think about all of us fishermen that live by the weather." You know,
we do. You're right about that. Well, I tell you what, though, the part of it that everybody forgets is when we want cooler weather, then you have to deal with cold fronts.
Yes.
Once that starts, then you start having to deal with north wind, and that gets to be difficult sometimes. You know, especially when you get a nor'wester in here, and oh man, 25-30 miles an hour. Those usually happen in middle to late November, but you know that could happen any time.
Right.
So well, that's something you have to
deal with. It's not bad if all your fish are set up in the north ends of your bays and everything, and your water conditions are right. You know, behind those fronts, you can have some stellar days, but if you got a fresh system and you start pulling all of that, then you got problems.
Well, last year we did. You know, we had northeast winds and northwest winds, and I was in the river up there, so it didn't matter. But now, still too much fresh water.
Well, they're getting Rayburn down for you. That ought to slow up here pretty soon because that lake.
Oh yeah, they have. They are pulling that lake down. Have you seen the level yet?
They are pulling it down, brother. I checked it the other day when I talked to Randy, and it was just a little under 2 feet above pool. And what are they supposed to draw it down 7 feet below to get that dam repaired like they're supposed to?
Yeah, 6 or 7 feet.
So you still got quite a bit coming, but, I mean, every time they'd get that lake down to 4 or 5 feet, then it'd jump up to 9 feet above. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, they didn't plan that right.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's about a foot above pool now.
Wow. That's just amazing. This time of year, it would be, you know, normally 3, 4, or 5 foot low.
Oh, yeah.
Just from attrition, you know, just from generating. I mean, I was up there the other day, and it was like, wow, I can't believe this lake is so big right now.
Yeah, this time of year, you're used to looking at it, and it's a lot smaller looking because it's low.
So I don't know what the Sabine is doing, but it's probably still a little high. But once that falls out, well, then... The fish on the Louisiana side might start moving up, and that would give me a distinct advantage about that. So we'll just see how all that works out. But it's getting close to the end of the season, so I'm just curious to see how long those trout are going to stay in that lower ship channel. I'm pretty sure that some of them have moved back around Blue Buck Point and up into the lake, but I don't know that for sure because I've had no reports, and I haven't ventured up there. You know, if I'm If I'm catching fish every day, I'm not going to explore. Gas is too expensive.
I know. You're just going to have to take one day and just go fish it out, look it over, see what's up.
Yeah, and I will do that.
Because nothing can turn around faster than that lake over there. I've seen it change in one day where, I mean, the water just turned overnight, and it just got dark. It was still fresh, but it had that color in it, and it just fish were in it. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're used to, resident fish are used to fresh water.
They are.
But this year, oh, man.
Oh,
it was so fresh.
Hey, we've had more water come through our systems up there on this upper coast this year than I've ever seen, ever. I've been around a while. I've seen some floods, and it was continuous for so long.
Yeah, that's right. But there is a way to deal with that and still catch fish.
Yeah, you got to fish around it, fish below it, go where the fish are.
Normally I will stay down south till right at the end of September.
Yeah.
And maybe venture up into the lake several miles. But this year is probably not going to be any different. I'll probably keep catching fish right down there where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll know when to move. But in the meantime, I'll do a little bit of poking around and checking and see what might be available several miles up the lake. Like you say, it can change really quick.
Yes, it can.
So,
I was going to ask you, are you catching any big male trout this year? The big males?
Not really.
Well, I'm starting to see a lot of them over here and Matagorda, too. I'm talking 23-inch fish, and then Tommy Alexander sent me a picture yesterday of the biggest male he's ever caught. It was 26 inches and weighed 6 pounds. Now, that is an old
fish. That's a stud.
That's a big male.
Oh, yeah.
Caught it on top water.
No doubt. Yeah, it's been some good top water fishing over here, too. But no, I'm not seeing that. No. Most all the better fish that I'm catching are females.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Well, those males, they're old. They've made it through a lot, floods and freezes. And it makes
sure
you just
wonder,
where are all the big girls at? Those big 28, 29-inch trout. Because that's what those big males are here to service. Those bigger males, they're the ones that take care of those giant females. And
yeah,
looks like we're going to have our late spawn this year is going to be a good one. A lot of fish are just starting to row up again, full of eggs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing.
They're going to get off another good one.
Yeah. Nature has a way of taking care of those trout.
Replenish, baby.
It's
like quail laying extra eggs. Just keeps getting on nest.
Yeah, go for it.
And doves.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those years that we'll get over into March, and we'll catch a 6-inch trout, and we'll be going, when the heck was that thing spawned?
That came from the October or September spawn.
It had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be. Yeah,
what is a female trout? It grows to the first year, it's 12 inches.
Yeah. 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Depending on how much food they've got, how long the winter is, and all that.
And then by 2 years old, they're 16. By 3 years old, they're 19. Now, males grow at a slower pace, they're a lot smaller, but.
Well,
that's
we
on
should,
the average, according to the Hart Institute.
Well, I'm seeing some better fish this year. and they've been kind of bunched together where I can get at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught several 24s. I haven't seen a 28 yet, or a 27. I hadn't seen those, but and I'm catching an awful lot of fish.
Well, at least we're going in the right direction.
They yeah.
were growing up.
Yeah,
it's a lot better this year than it was last year, no doubt.
Yeah.
Let me do this break, buddy. Break out, and I'll be right back at you, my friend. Well, join us in Matagorda on September 7th from 2 to 9 p.m. for the Heat Wave Slam Shrimp Boil fundraiser at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas. For just $20, you can enjoy all-you-can-eat shrimp, live music, and a chance to win big in their raffle. Limited tickets are available, so purchase them online ahead of time. HeatWaveSlam.com. That's HeatWaveSlam.com. And don't forget about their tournament. $300 a team, $5,000 payout for the top five teams. And that's 2 to 4 p.m. is a weigh-in. And it benefits Hook's Bit Junior Anglers Association. So get your tickets. Register at HeatWaveSlam.com. That's HeatWaveSlam.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we're back. Back at
Well, a little bit of Pink Floyd there.
Yes, sir. It's Saturday.
Absolutely.
My old music day.
Well, yeah, absolutely, buddy. Well, we were talking about river levels.
Yeah.
And hopefully that you know, typically I do not move out of the lower part of the channel until somewhere around September 28th.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden one day, the fish that are out of the Gulf, they leave. They just leave.
Right.
You know, you can nail it down within 2 or 3 days. And you'll be catching, you know, 40 or 50 trout a day. And then all of a sudden, they're not there. That tells the story, right?
Yes.
They just bail. And your other trout, they've usually moved, the resident trout have moved throughout the month of September up into the lake, and birds are working, and I haven't seen any of that this year.
Yeah.
It's just been too fresh. All the trout were compressed out of the lake, but I bet you somewhere up there, there's trout that are in a bow, or they're down lakeshore. They're somewhere.
You're probably
some
right.
Some have moved. Yeah, they've moved without me knowing it. Because that happens gradually. It takes about 3 weeks when you get a big, massive flush of fresh water to move the trout from north to south. It doesn't just happen overnight. And you see it, you know, you gradually watch them move. And this year's been such a wet year, I figure it'll be late when they start moving.
Yeah.
But they're going to go meet those shrimp. The shrimp are going to be coming out of the marsh.
They're waiting on that to happen for the fall, you know, the dump.
Somehow they know.
Yeah,
I don't know how they know, but they know.
Well, in these tide exchanges, you know, when you get an outgoing tide coming out of your marshes and your upper ends, that smells in the water. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a tiger tracking something wounded, you know, following the blood trail in the scent. I mean, that's the way the fish are. They can smell that in the water. Blood in the water, baby.
And, you know, it's a natural occurrence. And now, there have been shrimp. Small shrimp down in the channel down there.
Right.
I see them jumping when the fish are feeding on them. I'll see a shrimp jump there once in a while, and little 4 to 5 inch ribbon fish. You know, when you see those little ribbon fish flashing, your own fish. I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Like running,
you're not
shrimp.
Catching them, you're not doing right. Yeah. And there's been a variety of bait down there. There's been, you know, the inch and a half little pogies and finger mullet. I saw finger mullet spit up in the boat the other day, you know, about 3 inches long. So everything's packed in down there, and there's a smorgasbord of food for them, and they're just enjoying the heck out of it. But there'll be more shrimp come out of the marsh drains. They're going to be coming out soon. So I'm really curious to see what all this happens. Because this has been a weird year. Too much fresh water for too long. And it exacerbated by Weyburn being drawn down. So I don't know if they're going to meet their target goal or not. Hopefully they can get it done, get it over with. We just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, it's what we do, wait and see.
But in the meantime, I'm going to be catching fish somewhere. Just, you know, bob and weave and stay with them. If I get past this second eye surgery on Monday, I'll be back out there and going.
So you're having your other eye done too?
Yeah. It's not as bad. It wasn't as bad as my right eye, but they said, well, go ahead and get that one cleared up and get you back out on the water. It doesn't take long to heal up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
No downtime.
I'm looking forward to checking out that rifle scope and see if I can see one little diamond down there on that target instead of two.
Instead of double vision.
I had adjusted my scopes all the way out till the end, you know, trying to find that sweet spot where I could focus in real good. And now with my right eye, I'm going to have to adjust it in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because it's cleared up so much. So it looks good. Looking like it'll be all right.
Well, you know,
sure hate going through that, though.
Looking through scopes and everything, people need to. I know it's hot. It's hot, but now's the time to really check all your guns.
Yeah.
You know, make sure your scopes are still on, which I do it every year and I never have one off. I mean, with these new scope mounts and the equipment we have nowadays, you just don't see a lot of that.
No. No,
unless you drop it out the top of a deer stand or something like that, but just for normal, just, and you know, most hunters, they take care of their weapons. They don't beat them up or anything. They put them in cases and when they haul them. But it's a good thing to check.
If you spend as much on your scope as you do on the rifle you buy, you're usually going to have good success.
Yeah, well, a scope's the most expensive part, you know, when I set up a gun. You know, I've got some really good rifles, but I got some scopes on them are as much or more than the rifles.
That's right.
You know, there's no
once I started doing
for,
that,
you know, having a good scope, man, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, and once you get it all set up right, you don't have to worry about pulling it out of the bag and checking it and it being 4 inches off and right and all that kind of stuff. I had some scopes, not naming anybody's brands, but I paid, you know, mid-grade to lower grade scopes, and I'd pull them things out and I might be 3 or 4 inches off, and what was happening was the recoil of the rifle was upsetting the crosshairs.
Really?
And I had several scopes like that, cheap ones, you know?
Yeah.
And don't have that much anymore. Because I went ahead and...
You think that's more to do with the mounts or the scope itself?
Scope itself. Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, when you shoot those heavy recoil rifles like a 270 or 30-06, and you wind up upsetting those crosshairs. And I mean, I dealt with that for years.
Yeah.
And finally I said, you know what, I'm going to spend the money and get a good, high-quality scope. And lo and behold, the problem went away. I've got a Swarovski scope. It's a 3-10, 3.5-10. And I zeroed that rifle 10 years ago, and it had never been off since.
Yeah.
Just goes to show, you know.
What do you
shoot? It doesn't matter.
30 millimeter tubes on the scope?
I'm shooting a 7 millimeter.
The scope.
No, it's a 1 inch.
1 inch.
It's 1 inch.
Yeah. All my newer scopes are all 30 millimeter.
Yeah, and that's good. I think that's the right way to go, but most of my scopes are 1 inch tubes.
Yeah.
Even I've even got some 4.5 to 14s. And
yeah.
Boy, those are good scopes. Yeah.
Yeah, 4, 5, 14, 50s you know, it's two of my really favorite scopes. One I've got on my 257, another one I've got on my AR-10 at 308. is the those Zeiss and the three. One's a 3x12 and one's a 3x15. And, boy, they're just clear and just they've always been on for me.
For I've a
long,
got some
long
really,
period of time.
I think I've got 4 Zeiss scopes, and they're just really, really clear. I mean,
you know what your best bang for the buck nowadays is that I'm seeing a lot of hunters are using them is the Vortex scopes. Have you got any of those?
No, I don't have a Vortex.
I've got a ballistic reticle when I put on my 6.8 SPC. Oh, man, I love that thing. It and the price was right on it. I mean, it was half the price of those Zeiss, but the lens, the glass, the optics, I mean, all of it, I can't tell the difference, and it's held up really good. I don't know how many rounds I put through that rifle with that scope on it, and it's just dead on.
There you go. Yeah, I'd love to try a Trigicon, but it's a little bit out of my price range.
Oh, Trigicon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see one of them.
Yeah, you start getting into those night scopes and everything for hog hunting. That's where the big money comes out. All that clear stuff.
It does. I would like to have one thermal, but can't afford that either. I'll just have to hunt in the daytime.
No, you just don't hunt enough at night to make it feasible for spending that kind of money on those optics like that. You know, unless you're into it, it's worth every penny. You do that a lot.
Oh, heck yes. I'm not even sure I'd know how to use one.
You figure it out. It's pretty simple.
Studying.
I watched David Brown use all of his. He showed me it's nothing to it.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, Mr. Brown's a cool guy.
He's pretty crazy. Cool and crazy. My kind of guy.
Yeah, he is.
An old man that never grew up.
Well, there I be.
There you go. That's
shoot, man.
But man, you'd be surprised what people can see if you go with night vision on a deer lease at night and just sit in a blind. You know, you can't hunt at night, but you can sure look at some of the animals you see, and you wouldn't believe some of the monsters that come out during the nighttime in the middle of the night. You know, to feeders and everything else that you'll never see in the daytime. You'll never see them.
No, they love the darkness.
That's why, you know, I love hunting a rut, because they get real stupid too, and they'll come out when they normally wouldn't. But when love is in the air, they do some stupid things.
Yeah, they sure do.
That's why I like hunting a rut, because you got a lot of movement and you see a lot of deer you know don't normally see. So,
yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, all right, Bill. Well, hey, buddy, it's always good talking to you. Good luck with that next eye job, and get shined up, get ready to fish it out through the winter. get all decked out, buddy. Well, hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come over to Sabine and fish with you, man.
409-673-9211. That'll get you there, buddy.
You got it, man. Bill, have a good weekend. Right. Good talking to you. See you, man.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Well, folks, join us on September 7th from 2 to 9 p.m. for the Heat Wave Slam Shrimp Boil Fundraiser at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas. For just $20, you can enjoy all-you-can-eat shrimp, live music, and a chance to win big in their raffle. And you know, limited tickets are available, so purchase online. Get them while you can. HeatWaveSlam.com. That's HeatWaveSlam.com. And don't forget about their HeatWave Slam Fishing Tournament. Guaranteed $5,000 payout. Benefits the Hookspit Junior Anglers. Get your tickets or register today at HeatWaveSlam.com. That's HeatWaveSlam.com. good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 437 here in the Bayou City. Let's check in with a fish dude on Lake Conroe, old Richard Tosh. Hey, Richard, what's going on?
Not a lot, Mickey. What do you know good?
Oh, man, everything. It's all good, except for
I heard that.
After that ball game last night. Man, what a shocker.
I hear you. Well, I mean, that's the way it works out sometimes. I mean, that's just the deal. Boy, I saw a nice 8-point this morning, though.
Did you?
Oh, man.
That's a good way to start the day. See a big old buck on the way to the fishing hole.
I guarantee you. That rascal, he was probably 18 inches wide, still in velvet and stuff, so it's a nice little 8-point.
Yeah, when they're in velvet, it makes them look bigger, too, you know.
I guarantee you they look like monsters.
Yes, sir.
There ain't no doubt, but it's all good. And we even got a little bit of wind this morning. Not much, but a little bit, mostly east wind, and it's below 80 degrees, so I have no complaints, I promise you. These goofy old shad, we're going to try some hybrids for a little bit this morning. If they do any good, we'll wear them out. If not, we're going to just go haul out a bunch of catfish, so. We'll see how they want to act this morning anyway. They ought to be all right. I would think so, that with it cooling down. Now, the water temperature is still up there. It's right now I'm showing 90. So it's better than it was the other day. I went bass fishing the other day, and it was showing 91. So that was early in the morning. So yeah. That's bathtub water. That's for dang sure. So it's you know, when you get that dang warm water, these fish just act all goofy. But, man, I'll tell you what, I'm sitting here looking at a million little tiny shad. I mean, I bet they're not even a half inch long. So, I don't know, them hybrids may be wanting those smaller baits today. We'll see.
Maybe.
See how they want to act. Well, that's normally what happens when them rascals start. When I start seeing all these little small baits, that's what they want, some little bitty baits.
Yeah, you know, we go through that here, you know, where we have to downsize because of the size of the bait, you know, that the fish are feeding on.
I'll tell you what, it's funny because, like, in the wintertime, I can take a big, you know, about a 5-inch gizzard shad, put him on the hook, and them rascals, they'll eat him up. And this time of year, you put him on there, they'll even touch him.
Yeah.
It's just weird, but that's all right.
As long as I got to the coast and go out in the Gulf and put that big gizzard shad on, and
it won't take but a minute.
Won't be in the water a minute, and a shark will be on it or a jag.
I guarantee you. Well, I'll tell you what, though. Well, that's like last week. Them dang barracuda were eating us up on those little blackfin we were bringing up. Barracuda and them sharks would eat them up and come up with about half of them, and then. Then dang old porpoise be jerking them off too. So it's
feeding the local wildlife.
I guarantee you, it's crazy, but it's all good. You know, like I say, this morning I'm glad it's cooler this morning because that heat was killing me.
East in the wind, that kind of cools things down, you know. And
yeah, it does.
Heated wind off the landmass. That's always good.
I guarantee you that east feels really good this morning.
Now, maybe we'll make the turn. You know, we're going to make the turn and get some kind of fall in the air.
There you go. It's getting close. I mean, it's that time of year. You know, when I start seeing them deer standing on the side of the road like that with all that velvet, it sure makes me start getting ready for fall anyway.
Yeah, stuff was on the move this morning. I saw a couple of coyotes coming to the studio this morning.
I'll be
right
darned.
In the middle of the road.
Okay. Goofy rascals, they need to go and clear out. So that's one thing. I need to get into more predator hunting too. So that's one of the things I enjoy doing that myself. Get that call out there and get them rascals to come to it. It is when you get them come running in there and they think they're fixing to wear you out and you wear them out. That's that's fun as it gets right there. You get them all bowed up, ready to come in and eat that rabbit that's screaming at them, and the next thing you know, they're laying right there, and that's perfect. But that's like dang old hogs, you know, them dang hogs out there in Lando. At least we got them kind of under control right now. They ain't, granted, that's just for now. They'll pick back up. So we've got keep catching about two or three of them on camera right now. But last year we'd catch 20 or 30 of them on camera. There was one year I got one big feeder holds 2,500 pounds of corn, and we had, I think I counted 20 of them laying underneath it. They wouldn't even get up to feed. They just eat it off the ground while they was laying there. And that's just crazy when you get that dang many hogs around.
Yeah,
those are some destructive rascals, I promise you.
They are. They'll eat you out of house and home.
I guarantee you, and they'll tear everything you got up. And if you got a good pasture, even golf courses, them people on them golf courses will tell you flat out, they don't want them dang things around nowhere. I guarantee you they are. They make some big old craters out there, that's for sure. But it's, I don't know. I'm ready to get today going and just see how these hybrids are going to act, because they've been doing me wrong for the past little bit, but they've been doing pretty decent. I've been watching some other guys catching a few of them, and they don't target them. They just catch them on accident for the most part. So they start
catching
them. Yeah, I
talked to Royce Simmons up on Richland Chambers this past Sunday, and he said that the guys up there that are fishing for the hybrids are doing real good, you know, using live bait. He said they're catching a few, you know, slabbing and stuff with their white bass. But he said the live bait guys are hanging in there, doing pretty good as hot as it is.
You know, it's crazy how like a month ago I couldn't get them to bite, you know, and then 2 weeks prior to that they'd bite pretty dang good, and then all of a sudden they just start biting again. So it's, I don't know what the deal is with them. I mean, they normally for most years, all I do is after they stop biting on me like they did a month ago, I just kind of quit fishing for them and wait on it to cool off, and they'll start picking back up. Normally around Thanksgiving is when they start picking back up. But if they want to keep on playing, I'm going to keep on trying to catch them rascals.
Yeah,
there ain't no sense in not chunking at them anyway.
That's it. At least you got to go fish for them. Give it a little bit of time before you switch over to something else.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's like I told these guys this morning. I said, you know, we're going to give them hybrids about an hour. If they don't do no good, foot on them, we're going to go catch a bunch of catfish. That's all we're going to do. Because there ain't no sense in fighting them rascals if they don't want to eat. You know, that's the rough part right there. You get out there and start spending more than an hour on them and you're not getting them to bite right, you better change up and go do something different. Otherwise, you're just going to waste a bunch of dang time. And that ain't, you know, that ain't no fun in my eyes. I want to catch a bunch of fish. That's what it's all about to me.
Looking for action.
All the time and never slow down. That's the biggest part. Just never slow down. Keep it going. And that's, you know, that's like I say with them hybrids. When I get them going right, them rascals, I catch the heck out of them. So we're going to see them today anyway. I'm ready. I'm definitely ready to get after them. There ain't no doubt about that. So,
how's your catfish bites? Is it still hanging in there?
Oh yeah, they're always good though, Mickey. I mean, these goofy old catfish up here, there's so dang many of them. I mean, it's hard not to.
There's
catch
always
them.
A bite, even when it's bad, it's good.
Even when it's bad, it's good. I mean, now there has been some days in the winter months when you get a real hard cold front blow through. Mm-hmm. They'll shut down on you a little bit. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. You can kind of get out there and mess with them. But summertime, no, there's, I mean, good night. You usually catch the dang many of them. You don't want to catch no more. So that's one of the biggest things right there. But in wintertime, that's usually whenever it gets tough sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. But the biggest thing about wintertime fishing is the fish are always bigger. You know, that's what's funny. They're always bigger in the winter months, the colder months, when that air temperature and water temperatures drop down, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that. Them rascals, they just start feeding up and they don't want to quit eating. So that's what I like about them, because they get thick. You know, when you can start catching where it's 10 fish to a gallon bag, then that's what I like. That makes it all good. Yeah. You know, like right now, some of them, for most part, some of them be 10, 15, or about 15 fish to make a gallon bag of fillets, but some days it's 20. And when it gets to where it's 20, it's like, good night, these are a bunch of little rascals, but you got to keep on chunking at them. Right. Try to make it work. That's the biggest thing. Keep on chunking. If you don't chunk, you can't catch them.
True.
That's the biggest thing. Keep a bait in the water, keep it going.
Well,
But it's all good.
Well, hey, man, somebody wants to come up and fish with you, give them some info, bud.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right. Always good talking to you, Richard. You have a good weekend. See you next week.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Catch them up. Later, man. All right. That's Richard Tosh up on Lake Conroe. Now let's run down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Good morning, Charlie P. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning.
Well, how
What's
are you?
What's up? Let's see. I'm fine. Getting ready to fight the elements.
Yeah.
I know we got two big tournaments around here today, so.
Uh-oh.
Ain't gonna be no picnic. They've got...
Smoke on the water.
Lingerie on the bay, about 60 boats in that, and I don't know what that other tournament is, but typical Saturday.
Yeah.
The weather seems to be pretty calm. I don't see much wind.
Nah, it's nothing. They're calling for east 15 to 25. They were doing that yesterday, but it didn't make it.
Yeah.
So
that'll probably come up this afternoon like that, but
it's gone down since I went on air at 4 o'clock. It's down to, it was 13 at the North Jetty and now it's 8.
Yeah.
The southeast. So
I didn't fish yesterday, but they had quite a crowd down here yesterday. I guess pre fishing for all this and
probably.
And they had a north wind in the morning.
Y'all had those storms yesterday morning. It looked like they stuck around for a while. They were moving pretty good when they came off the Gulf and moved inland, but they kind of stalled out for a little bit.
Yeah, but I know some people caught them and some people didn't. There's a
lot of people
drifting with croakers out there now, and I think they did pretty good, but. Most everybody dredging. Else struggles. Yeah, dredging.
They drag them backwards behind the boat.
Over here. Yeah. We don't see much of that around here. That's just recently started. So
that's you Galveston fishermen. They like dredging over there.
I know. But I still did hear, several good trout caught yesterday. I know, I think Tommy caught one trout. He thinks it was a male.
Yeah, it was a croaking male. Pounds. He sent me a picture of it. It's 26 inches long. That's a big old male. That's an old fish.
Mickey, I caught one time at back at East Bay, and it was that same day that Scott threw that no-hitter. The Astros, because we wanted to fish that morning and get back and watch the game. The game was like at 2 o'clock,
right?
And we were over at Marsh Point, and we were in a giant school of redfish, and knee deep to waist deep water. And I caught this trout that didn't fight. I mean, I hung him and reeled him up and grabbed him and. And he was like 31 and a half inches long, but he was the ugliest thing you ever seen in your life. You could tell that he was sick.
Yeah.
He was dying. And in fact, he was too ugly to get mounted. And I tried to flame, and that damn meat was white. He was sick.
Yeah.
So I had to
throw
him
out.
Discard him, but he was croaking.
Right.
Croaking.
Well, you can tell on the inside. When you open them up, that rib cage has that dark red patch through it. When a female doesn't, a male will have that brownish red inner rib cage color. And I caught one on the North Shoreline East Bay one year. That's the biggest one I ever caught. But I caught four fish sight casting to them after a front. and I got two of them mounted, and both of them were over 9 pounds, and one of them was a male. Al Hillmeyer called me, said, "Hey, I skinned that fish, and that second biggest one was a male trout. It was a 9.2. That's a giant male. That fish fooled me when I sat down on him on a 7mm mirror lure. He was harmonica mouth, and I mean, he headed straight for deep water. And I said, man, this fish is going to spool me. Boy, he fought good. Head shaking, jumping out of the water. Just like, you know, real characteristic of a male trout anyway, you know, by the fight.
Yeah. Well, this one was the opposite. It was no fight. I mean, I basically reeled him up and grabbed him and strung him.
Caught him back there in the big trout graveyard, buddy. I think they went back there to die. Did. I really do. I think a lot of those big fish went back there to spend their last few months before they ran their course.
Yeah. Well, we had
so
many fish.
Well, because we killed so many too. Fish. It was a graveyard.
Yeah. We had so many fish. You know, back in them days, I didn't give a damn whether it was a male or a female. Or,
I didn't either.
Ready to
string
make the next
string
cast.
Them through the eyeballs, man. Run them down to the float. Let's roll.
That ain't going to happen today, I can tell you that.
No.
No.
Oh, well.
Well, now tell me about them Astros. I didn't get to watch that damn game last night down here in Matagorda. I don't get it.
It was a good ball game right up to the end. And, boy, it went south on us in a heartbeat. We got to the eighth inning, and, you know, we didn't score. If we'd have scored, he'd have put Brian King in because we're up 5-3. But instead he put Abreu in, and Abreu hadn't pitched in a while. And you could tell. I mean, he's a workhorse. You got to throw him every day, keep him up on his game. And he just didn't have it. And I don't know. We had two men on, first and third on the corners, and he gets a line drive back up the middle, and he caught it between his legs. And he was facing towards second when he caught it, but he decided to go to third because the guy was fixing to come home, and so he threw it to third. If he'd have thrown to second and got the double play, that would have been it. And instead, he threw to third. The guy was safe, so the bases are loaded. And that right fielder there's Santander, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, with 37 homers already this year. Well, he put one in the right field bleachers, Grand Salami, all she wrote.
Man, how many close ones will be lost like that this year? Golly.
I know. It's,
you know?
And that's just not like Abreu, but he just, you know, he was just about a half a bubble off. And, he just had a bad outing. Nothing you can do about it. Swallow it and get ready to go ahead and eat your crow and come back and win today. We got Fromber on the mound.
There you go.
That's going to help. But Hunter Brown pitched another quality start, you know. And it's a shame, pitch that good and then end up losing the ball game. Dang shame. He gave up.
Yeah, we're lucky to have those two young.
They have developed, hadn't they?
They've
really come into their own. I love young talent, especially when they can come around there like those two boys have. They're awesome. Oh well.
Yep.
All right, Charlie. Well, hey, somebody wants to call you about coming down to Mattahoochee. How do they get a hold of you?
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie, have a good weekend. Catch them up. Watch the boats.
Take care, Mickey.
Later. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.